Thank you, Jesus. There's so many times in our lives that we do not recognize a certain other thing that we are doing or a certain other way that we are acting, all because we think that we are doing it right. There's so many times in our lives that we have a tendency of thinking and believing that if I do this, or if I do that, or if I change this, or if I change that, then this will happen, or that will happen, because we believe, yet again, that it is right. This is us as people, this is us as human beings, and yet, in us doing these things, it has a tendency of having us to build up some walls. We put ourselves behind fortresses, or it causes us to lean to our own understanding because of this conversation or that word or that perception or what I saw or even what I heard. It's a lot of times in our lives that past experiences and hurts and things that was performed or acted towards us has caused us to have this state of mind of prejudice. It takes us to a place where we really don't want to be, or we really can't be, or we really try not to be, but in actuality we can't help but to be there because of the situation, the conversation, the thing that we see, or even the thing that we hear. Thank you, Jesus. So right now, you guys, I want everybody to get yellow sheets of paper and red pens and start writing down any and everything that you think and believe has caused you to think a certain type of way or act a certain type of way. Whether it's a person, a situation, a conversation, a thing, or even something imagined in your mind, because it's a lot of times that we imagine a lot of stuff because of what we see and even because of what we hear. It causes us to believe a certain other thing. So right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to first empty ourselves out. We want to empty out any and everything that's down in the inside of our hearts, God, that's preventing us from being in your face. We want to empty out any and everything right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that's preventing us, Father God, from understanding what you are trying to say to the church, Lord. We want to give you all these things on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because they easily beset to them. We really don't even know that we're doing it consciously or even subconsciously, because it has become part of our character. It has become part of the normal to us. So right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we want to empty out all this stuff. We want to get rid of all this stuff. The name of the sermon today that the Lord gave me is The Prejudice of Pride. He started breaking down some things to me concerning prejudice that leads to pride. And in actuality, we don't even know or even understand what we are doing, or even we walking in pride, or we acting prideful, or we talking prideful, or we thinking prideful and not reacting. We thinking prideful and not walking in it. We thinking prideful. Why? It even leads to us to lean into our own understanding. It leads to our own understanding. I'm not going to tarry. I'm finna give it to y'all because, baby, he gave it to me. He gave it to me this morning when he woke me up at 2 o'clock and I had to do some other things because I was in a place of discomfort. And so in the midst of me being in that place, I started thinking like, Lord, I said, what are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to show me, God? Moving out the way. She looked at me and said, hi. Y'all do know that baby ain't even a year yet. Just grown. name, Ashley. Okay, so it's a lot of times that we have a tendency of putting ourselves in this place. So the name of the sermon today is because he put the before it, the prejudice of pride. We don't even understand. Half of the time, we can't even relate. I'm telling y'all, this is going to blow y'all.
Because it blew me, baby. It blew me.
And then he said, get him the familiar story that's in the Bible. And then point out some things that has never been pointed out before, so that we may be able to understand what we do constantly. What we do constantly, how we act constantly. As adults, as teenagers, as children, as grandmas, as mamas, as daddies, as the lead, as the... I'm talking about all the stuff. All the stuff. The name of the sermon is The Prejudice of Pride. And he said, make sure you put an explanation point behind that. I said, explanation point? He said, yeah. He said, because I want you to scream it. The prejudice of pride. Don't you know that pride would take us to a place that we lean to our own understanding that we don't even know we being prejudiced? So what is prejudice? It's an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. I can't think rationally because I don't agree with you. So that causes me to be prejudiced. I just read the definition. Prejudice is an adverse opinion or leaning form without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. So, I become prejudiced in a conversation that I have not heard the conclusion of. It causes me to come to my own understanding. It causes me to come to a place of being prejudiced, and that's when I block you out and shut you down and I cut you off and I overtalk you because I ain't trying to hear it. Because right now, I'm in a prejudiced state and I don't even know. And I'm prejudiced against you. So it's causing me to be irrational. I can't reason with you. I can't. It's deep, ain't it? Listen, hold on. What is prejudice? Is injury or damage resulting from judgment or action of another in disregard of one's rights, of their opinion, or their attitude towards that thing. It causes me to be prejudiced. Is y'all getting it? We never thought prejudice was this deep. Now listen to this. Prejudice is to cause to have often negative opinions formed without sufficient knowledge or understanding. I become prejudiced because you won't listen to me or hear me out. So I am going to keep cutting you off. I am going to say what I got to say. And if I can't, I'm ignore what you say. And I'm going to believe this and believe that. And I'm going to pick out this and pick out that. And then I'm going to give you my opinion. And it may be negative or it may be positive. But because I don't have a clear understanding or the knowledge of what you trying to say, or even what I'm trying to get you to hear me say, then I become irrational, and it's a form of prejudice. Prejudice is an attitude that always favors one way of feeling or acting, especially without considering any other possibilities. So it don't matter what
what you trying to tell me. It don't matter what you say. I was thinking this way, and I thought that way, and I wanted to do it this way, and I wanted to do it that way, not even knowing you prejudice, because you're not thinking of what could or what should or what can, because you're thinking what ain't and what wasn't. That's prejudice. He's saying the prejudice of pride. So prejudice causes the pride to rise, people. Prejudice causes the pride to rise because of all the stuff I just said a minute ago. It could be in any form, any fashion. It could be in any conversation. It could be in what I see, what I hear, or even what I simply believe. It could be in my perception of it, and I ain't even have to open up my mouth, and neither did you. My perception. What we call it, I discerned that they did. Did you really? Is that really a discernment, or perception, or your opinion? Which one is it? Because when we get to that place, we think that we are the victim. I didn't do nothing. I didn't say anything. I wasn't at, let me give y'all an example. I was in conversation on the phone yesterday with this individual. And so because I know that they work all night, they work midnight shift. So when I speak to them, or when they call me, I be like, well, hey, how you doing? How was your night? My night was good. And you know, we had a little conversation. And then I said, well, I ain't gonna hold you up long. Go ahead and take you a nap. I know you kind of sleepy or tired. And then they get real hostile. I ain't sleepy or tired. If I wanted to, I'd get off the phone and I'd let you know this and I'd let you know that and such and such and such and such. And then I said, okay, it's okay. Now, this is their perception. And then so we'll talk for a little while. Then we'll get off the phone because I have to do something. They have to do something. And then I get a text. Well, I'm still waiting on your call back. I said, well, okay, well, let me go ahead and call back. I said, well, I thought you were going to go to sleep. Why are you always talking about me going to sleep and such and such and such and such and such and all this hostility? And then I say, wait a minute, hold it, hold it. You need to understand. No, I'm trying to tell you and such and such and such. I said, well, okay. I said, well, listen to what I got to say to you. And then so when I start saying, they cut me off again. You keep on saying it, such, 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 such. And then when I say, be quiet and listen. Oh, why are you screaming at me? First and foremost, I want you to just listen to what I'm trying to say. So when I call you and say, I let the phone ring a couple of times, but I hang it up if you don't answer it on the third ring, because I'm being considerate, because you've been working all night so that you can get you some, say, you smell good. So that you can get, it's like you washed your head, you smell good. I'm trying to be considerate. Because I know that you've been working all night long. But you say, why is you getting hostile? Because I'm concerned. But you don't know that I'm concerned, or I'm trying to explain to you why I asked you that, because you keep cutting me off. You prejudice. Because you, first of all, you're talking negative. Secondly, you lean into your own understanding. Thirdly, you're not, because this was what was said. You don't see what you're doing. Okay, well, what am I doing? You keep asking me this, and I keep telling you that, what, do you understand why I'm asking you this? You are not trying to come to the understanding of why I am, come on, son, so my baby won't be cold. You're not trying to come to the understanding as to why I am asking you this, because you are leaning to your own understanding. It's taking you to a place of hostility because of your prejudice, what? Thoughts. So I can't commune with you. We can't talk sensibly to one another. Because you understand what I'm saying? So you not knowing only that it's prejudice, but it's pride. The name of the sermon again is The Prejudice of Pride.
Now, what is pride? It's pleasure that comes from some relationship, association, achievement, or possession that is seen as a source of honor, respect, or acknowledgement. He did not know that he was saying things pridefully and walking in a form of prejudice. And neither did he want to be quiet to listen so that he could learn what he was doing so he wouldn't do it again. So, in the midst of it, I say, Lord, I say, do I always got to try to tell the people on the phone? To that point, what you do? Say, block. So, when I block the individual, the Lord say, unblock. I say, unblock. He say, yeah, because you still got to explain. You got to explain so that they won't think that they the victim. Because when we do certain other things, and the Lord bring these things to open and to fruition and exposing, the first thing a person say, I ain't do nothing. Or that wasn't my intention. Or I didn't say that because I wanted this to happen. Or I didn't think that. But you got to pay attention to you. Even in conversation. Because prejudice and pride will mess us up. Y'all remember everything that I just said, right? Okay. Let's go to the book of Luke. This story here is going to show us the prejudice in two different people and the pride in those same two different people. It's going to show us how we got to be more mindful that at what we see or what we hear will not alter our actions, that we become prejudiced and not compassionate. That prejudice that causes us not to be compassionate will lead us to pride and cruelty. I'm telling you, because of our thoughts, because of the way we look at stuff, because of what we experience or what we heard. St. Luke, chapter 15. We're going to talk about the prodigal son. Now, we may think and believe that this story got so many lessons in it, y'all. And I know y'all done heard this story 100 times. It's got so many lessons in it. See, the first lesson that is going to be told in this story is, I'm grown and I can do what I want to do. I'll figure it out. I'm going to do it this way and I'm going to do it that way. That's going to be the first lesson. And I'm going to break it all down. The second lesson that we are going to learn in this story is, don't be prejudiced, which leads to pride that causes you not to have compassion because you already got it all. They don't. Do I need to say that again? See, because prejudice provokes jealousy, y'all. Did you hear what I say? Prejudice provokes envy. Prejudice provokes hate. Prejudice provokes all these things, which causes pride to rise up. And this is when we build them fortresses and we want to stand behind something. Or we want to do something. That baby ain't called.
She not. Don't make her start swimming. That's what I told you, Cora. Do y'all know that it takes babies longer to get colder than us? It does. Because we could just take a baby and put them close to our body and it'll warm them up instantly. Now, I ain't say sit them in front of a fan or in front of an air conditioner. You know that girl set that baby in front of that air conditioner after getting that baby out that tub. Set that baby in front of that air conditioner, and when she woke up in the morning, the baby was dead and had froze to death. Literally. I'm not going to say that was stupid. I'm going to say, Lord, help her in her mind. Y'all understand? I mean, literally, you sit your baby in front of an air conditioner after you get that baby out that tub and don't cover that baby up. The baby died. She in jail today for murder. So, let's get back to the story at hand. We're going to talk about the prodigal son. And the understanding of why he was lost and he found his way. Let's go to Luke chapter 15, verse 11 through 32. Did y'all pay attention to everything that I just said? I'm just going to read it right quick. I'm going to skim through it right quick. And he said, this is Jesus talking about it. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now mind you, even in only one son asking for it, the Bible says he gave both of them their portion, right? Don't get distracted. Hey, don't get distracted. Pay attention. Don't get distracted. Because this is something we all need. And he said a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now mind you, God will bless you with something and give you something. And then he wants you to use wisdom, but you want to figure it out. You want to do it your way or how your way. Listen, pay attention to this. Listen, this thing is so deep. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the huskies that the swine did eat and no man gave unto him. What does fain mean? He was willingly and desired and with pleasure ate the same food that the pigs was eating. Why? Because he ain't have nothing else. He ain't have nothing else. And wasn't nobody helping him do nothing. Now listen to this. And when he came to himself, he said, what make you think he came to himself? He didn't come to himself because he was a lunatic or that he was crazy. Because in the first place, after I read this, I'm going to read this part right here. This is what he said. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. And then it's a comment. Now listen to this. First and foremost, he had to come to himself. In order for him to say in his mind, my father rich, why am I out here willingly and with pleasure eating the same thing that the pigs is eating? Why? Because of pride. What did that pride come from? Because he felt like he was entitled because he had all his inheritance. God had blessed him and God has blessed his father and gave him what his portion was. Now pay attention. I'm going to read the whole story because I can't give y'all bits and pieces. I can't can't give y'all bits and pieces. Listen to this. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me, and he divided unto them his living. Now, that means both of them got their portion. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And swine is pigs, y'all. And he would fain mean willing or desire or with pleasure, would fill his belly with the huskets that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy servant. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. This is the second part, y'all. Listen. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is coming. Thy father have killed the fatted calf because he had received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, who was a sinner, this all his negative stuff, was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I got is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So what is the moral of the story about pride? Prejudice, the prejudice of pride. See, it's a lot of times that when God allows certain other things to happen in our lives or give us certain other things, it causes us to be prideful. In that pride, we are become prejudiced when we look at other people or we look at that situation. Now, the first son, which was the youngest, that's the one who left home. That's the one who wanted to do what he wanted to do because he thought he was of age. He thought that he could do this and he could do that because he got a certain age. And plus, I got my portion. My daddy rich and I got my stuff. But he went out there and did what he wanted to do instead of doing the one thing that God said, do first, acknowledge me in all your ways. So in the midst, God was still trying to have compassion on you and still try to show, but God will let you go and do what you need to do, or what you think you need to do, or what you think you want to do. And then when you get to that place where you can't do nothing else, then you have to come to yourself. What you mean come to yourself? You're going to put that pride down. You're not going to continue to walk around and act like you know it all. You ain't going to continue to walk around and think that you can figure it out. You're not going to continue to walk around and be like, oh, okay, I can do this. And what made him come to himself? Because he had so much pride, he did not want to go home and with nothing. But when he came to himself, he said, why I got to eat what the swine eating when my daddy rich? He had to first go all the way down. What I tell y'all, sometimes you got to go all the way down in order to get back up. God can have you already in that place. But because of your pride and what you think or what you believe, baby, he'll pull you all the way down that you got to go back. You got to go back and say, I'm sorry. You got to go back and apologize. You got to go back and take accountability for your mess up, and your breakup. See, because I didn't break up with you. You broke up with me. See, you got to go back at some point in some fact. So we cannot be prejudiced when that individual come back. So this is the second brother. The second brother say, Lord,
You now mind you, they ain't been consistent. What did the brother say? He said, I did everything you told me to do. I'm consistent. I ain't even leave you. I never left you. I do everything that you tell me to do. I'm obedient. I'm not rebellious. I make sure that everything, and even when you gave me everything that was my portion, I stored up. I ain't even spend it up. But this one right here, they obedient, they disobedient. They do what they want to do. They do how they want to do it. And then they come crawling back to you and you give them a party. You give them a party. That's all that jealousy and envy and hate that I was talking about earlier. And pride. See, he walking in pride. Pride of prejudice. He prejudices against his brother because his brother wasn't doing right. Ain't never did right. Always saying he trying to do right and he can't do right. Because he don't want to get it right. He want to do it his way, which he think is right. And the Bible says the ways of a man may seem right unto him, but it ain't leads to what, death? What did the Bible say? He was there. He had to come to himself first. But in the midst of it, it triggered something with the other. But Jesus had to remind him, wait a minute. No, you never left me. You always was obedient. Yeah, you did this and you did that. But pay attention. Everything I got is yours. You could get anything you want from me. Why you mad? Because I said, come on, baby. I forgive you. Why you got so much pride and prejudice towards them? Because they was dead. And now they live again. They living again in me. Am I the only one getting this? See, it's okay for you to go and walk in your pride. But guess what? I'm going to teach you something while you still in that season. While you still in that place. Because if I don't teach you, you won't come to yourself. I got to get you to come to yourself. And then that way, you're going to honor me more and appreciate instead of trying to negotiate. That's what you're going to do. Did y'all hear me? We're talking about the prejudice of pride. See, we're becoming so prejudiced in our pride that it's preventing us from having compassion. It's preventing us from really understanding what God is doing in them, not just for them, but for the benefit of you. Because if I see you going through, I know what you did, and I really don't understand why. I'm not going to stand in that place of prejudice and point my finger and wagging the head and say, nah, aha, that's what you get. But what I'm going to do is say, oh, I understand now that they living again. See, because when you got it all, you really ain't living. Pay attention. Everybody that got everything they want, 99% of them, is committing suicide. The richest person in the world, what his name? I know y'all been hearing him, and he in cahoots with Nebuchadnezzar in the White House. What is he? Is y'all paying attention? He losing everything. The man that built the Tesla. The one we supposed to be driving. He losing everything. He losing literally everything. You understand what I'm saying? And so the only, I know y'all have heard money talk. See, really, what did you just say, baby? He the president, ain't he? Because the money that Nebuchadnezzar think can move things or shut things down or stick it. It's really, I want everybody in here to say, it's just a setup to bring us back up. Because all of us in the whole world walking in pride. We are lost because we don't want to acknowledge who's the sole source and the very essence of it all.
and we have become prejudiced. We prejudice of the president, and he there doing something for us, and we don't even know. Well, what is he doing for us, keeping us from going to hell? Because if he don't do what he doing, we would not be praying to the one who's making it all be done. I'm just saying, we don't even understand that the prejudice of pride is preventing us from having compassion, even for our own selves. In the midst of the foolishness, or the chaos, or the mess, I'm just saying, y'all. See, that story talks about him coming back and being restored, but it's talking about the prejudice of pride in him, because he had prejudice and so much pride that he thought when he went out he was this, but when he came back he was that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And even when he come back, his brother, which was the oldest, we think, well, you older than me, you should know better. Yeah, you should. And see, these are all these conditions. These are all these conditions that we put on one another that causes us to be prejudiced and to walk in pride. Because, and let me use myself as an example. You're supposed to be a pastor. I never thought you would say that, and I never thought to that. I was in conversation yesterday. He said, I can't believe that you're saying these things to me. I say, believe it. Believe it. I say, and I made this perfectly clear. I say, you got to first understand what event is saying before you can even look at the pastor in event. Because I'm not an ordinary pastor. If you're looking for the usual in a pastor in me, baby, you might as well get up, turn around, walk out that door. Because you can't get that from me. I got to be true to myself. I got to be real within my own self before I can help you to be real about anything in your life, especially in your thoughts concerning who? Me. Yvette. Not the prophet, not the pastor, not the woman of God, not the person who's supposed to be walking in the spirit. Yeah, don't the Bible say don't none of us walk in the spirit all the time? I try to. Because if I didn't, I'd be practicing prejudice and pride. And in conversation with the individual that I had yesterday, the Lord showed me my prejudice. And this is what was my question. I say, why do you believe that? And why are you saying that? Because you ain't heard all of this. You ain't even heard of... Listen to me, y'all. When you in conversation with somebody, I don't care if a rat's tail, how mad you get, or how much that you think you need to defend yourself, close your mouth until they stop talking. Please. Because you don't know what the conclusion can be, and that very conclusion will give you all the understanding that you need. In you listening to the whole matter, it will very well change your response. Did you hear what I say? And that go for me and everybody in here. Because how many times I done interrupted folk talking? 90% of the time when I interrupt you in the midst of talking, the Lord is telling me to tell you something so that you won't speak negative or, quote, prejudice against what's being said. So I have to cut you off. Because I don't want you to set your own self up for disappointment. Because most of the time, this is what we do. We disappoint ourselves. We disappoint ourselves because of the things that we say. We disappoint ourselves because of the things that we believe. And we walk in prejudice and pride. Yellow sheets of paper and red pen. I want y'all to write down any and everything. Now, I done gave y'all the word for y'all to be able to understand. We all have been in a place of being prejudiced. What is prejudice? Let me give y'all the definition again, because everybody didn't hear it. What is prejudice? It's an irrational attitude of hostility directed against an individual, a group, a race, or their supposed characteristics. How many times you didn't agree with the character that a person was presenting to you? That's a form of prejudice. How many times that you, it made you think or even act irrational towards other people because of the way that they presented themselves? What is prejudice? It's an adverse opinion or leaning formed without just grounds or before sufficient knowledge. You don't have all the information that you need, and the information that you do have, do not selectively pick out what you want to take you to a place that causes you to be prejudiced. I'm giving y'all the definition to what prejudice is. It's injury or damage resulting from some judgment or action of another in disregard of one's rights, opinion, or their attitude. So whatever you say, however you say it, I know that I am right, and it don't matter what you think or how you believe, and I'm disregarding any and everything that you say. Why? Because that's my opinion. That's prejudice, y'all. What is prejudice? It's to cause to have an often negative opinion formed without sufficient knowledge. And this is why I tell y'all, be quiet until the other person get finished talking, because you may not have all the knowledge or understanding that you need in order for you to give the appropriate answer. Keep your opinion to yourself. What's prejudice? It's an attitude that always favors one way of feeling or acting, especially without considering any other possibilities. You are in a place of prejudice when you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. You're in a place of prejudice when you think you know it, and it don't matter what nobody say. This is how, let me give y'all an example. You can go to school and learn, go to school in English or writing, and you learn how to write a letter or learn how to do this in the way that it's supposed to be formatted, because this is the appropriate way to do it. Okay, so in the midst of it, you being told to do it another way, or you're being asked to do it another way, or you're being instructed. Now, you could take that any way, told, asked, or instructed. Told, you can't tell me nothing, I'm grown. Instructed, oh, okay, but I already know it don't supposed to go that way. But, or asked, it causes you to humble yourself. Is y'all really getting it? We got to keep our opinions out of it and thinking and believing that this should be or this shouldn't be or this can be or this can't be, because it takes us to a place of prejudice, which rises up pride. And pride is this and that, and it don't matter what you say. You're not considering a possibility that it may work because you know this is the right way. Are y'all following me? We walk in prejudice. This is another example that the Lord told me. When I turned 16 years old, I used to love Top 10s. Y'all remember Top 10s, y'all? By Adidas. Adidas used to make some tennis shoes called Top 10s. I used to love high tops. I had every color they made, baby. And that's all I used to wear, was Top 10s and straight legs, because I wanted my tongue and my tennis shoe to hang out, and I wanted my high top to show, baby, and I wanted the color of my shoestrings to be the same color of them Adidas lines, and I wanted my shirt to be that color too. I just thought I was that deal. That's one form of walking in pride. Listen to this. When I turned 16 years old, I say I ain't never wearing no more tennis shoes in my life, because I want to be more sophisticated. So only thing I ever wore was heels. I ain't wear flats. Don't y'all know that's a form of prejudice? I'm being prejudiced of how I think or how I believe and what my opinion was of me and what I wanted to or seen as if I was presenting about myself. Don't y'all know that's prejudice? Oh, yeah.
He told me that.
He says that's prejudice. It's prejudice when we on the phone or if, okay, Lord, when you in a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be an intimate ship. It could be a marriage. It could be on your job. It could be when you want to do things one way or, listen, I come to you and I ask you something, we're in conversation, and you give me a totally different answer, or how about not answering? And then, so I'm thinking this me. Well, you normally say this, or I wasn't expecting you to say that. And so now I'm putting my opinion in because I said those two things, normal and expectation. That's prejudice. Normal and expectation. That's prejudice. How? Because it's a condition. A condition is prejudice, right? Because the condition is my knowledge of what I do, what I won't tolerate, what I will tolerate, what I will accept, and what I won't. What I expect and what you haven't been doing. Is that not prejudice? I'm just trying to break it out so y'all can really see how we do it consciously and subconsciously. These are the things that he's trying to teach us so that it could cause us to be more compassionate. Because if we keep doing it this way, we ain't going to have no compassion. And we're going to be stubborn. Y'all do know that's a form of witchcraft. Stubbornness. What is stubbornness? A form of pride. Because I'm not going to say sorry if they don't. I ain't going to speak to them if they won't. I'm not going to do this if they can. If you ain't loving me the way I want you to love me or giving me what I expect for you to give me, then I'm going to make sure that I don't do this and I can't do this and I won't. That is stubbornness and pride. Pride and prejudice causes us to be jealous. I just read the story. Did it not cause the older son to be jealous of the younger son when actuality the older son is not don't have the full knowledge of the truth? Because if he had the full knowledge of the truth, he would have went and been partying with his brother. But he looking like, you did all these, you ain't never give me no party and I've been here all the time. You ain't never do this for me. And I'm the one out there in that field. But you gonna do it for him. And he been gone for 2 years. And now he come back, he ain't got none. And then you gonna give him a party because he bad. How you gonna do? Is that not jealousy? Is that not envy? Is that not taking him to a place of hating his brother? Because his father's showing him some compassion. His father welcoming him back in. He's prejudiced. He prejudiced towards him because he's speaking negative about something that not only his brother know, everybody know. Because his brother came back in humility and not only said that I was sinned against you, Father, but I sinned against, the first thing he said, I sinned against heaven. How did he sin against heaven? Because the Bible says acknowledge God in all your ways. And he going to direct your path. So if you don't do that, and then you go do what you want to do, and then it becomes a disaster or a shipwreck. So now you thinking and believing, oh, God don't love me. Oh, he ain't looking out. No, that ain't got absolutely nothing to do with it. All he wants you to do is say, I have sinned. Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry. He trying to get you to a place to understand that you do got pride and that you is walking in pride. But you got to come to yourself first. How many times I've told y'all we lose ourselves? We lose ourselves. We lose ourselves when we get a little bit more money. We lose ourselves when we get any and everything that we think we want. And then when everything go haywire and we come to ourselves, we know, you know what, Lord, I should have came back to you anyway. I shouldn't have never even left you. But now that I'm back, Lord, he going to say, okay, come on now. Let me give you some instructions. Since it says, nah, you want to acknowledge me and you use the common sense. The sixth one I gave you, because he gave us 5, 6 were common. Now I'm going to go ahead and help you out because you humbled yourself. And in humbling yourself, you're going to acknowledge and then you're going to let it all hang out. That's what that boy did. He acknowledged his error and then he confessed what he did.
Oh, but the other one say, you, how you gonna do that for him? Easy. Because first and foremost, you already got access to everything. As long as you got access, you ain't got no room, no time, and no reason to be jealous of absolutely nothing and nobody. Because you got access to it all. They the one that denied their access. See, a lot of times we deny access by prejudice and pride. Are y'all paying attention this morning? So I'm not going to deny my access. And anybody in here, just say, I ain't denying my access no more. I want my portion when he ready to give it to me. Because if he give it to me too soon, I may squander it. I may not have enough wisdom on what I need to do with it. I may be selfish and stingy of thinking that I know it or I can or I work it out or I figure it out. Are y'all getting me? Because God will give you a little here and a little there to see what you're going to do with it. He said, if I can trust you with the little, I'll make you rule over the much. See, he want to see what you're going to do with it. He want to see. He said, I ain't going to give you no more than you can bear. So I'm not going to let so many people come up against you all at one time like that. But if I let a whole bunch of people try to come up against you all at one time, I know how much you can handle. I just want you to know how much you can handle. I want to see how you're going to handle it. I want to see what you're going to say. See, I don't want you to get to a place of being prejudiced because they're coming up against you and then you start talking negative or try to lash back out. I want you to have compassion for them because they are not themselves. They're not themselves. Is y'all getting into today? Because it's real talk. Yellow sheets of paper and red pens. I want y'all to write your name. I want you to write your name and write, Lord, help me not to be prejudiced and walk in pride.
Everybody in here, kids too. Get a yellow sheet of paper and red pen. Come on. Every child in the sanctuary. All the little ones that know how to write and talk. I want you to write your name. And I want you to write, Lord, help me not to walk in pride. And not to walk in prejudice and pride. That's what I want you to write. And then I want you to use them other little sheets of paper and write down any and everything that caused you to be mad at folk. They caused you to act some type of way towards folk because you mad. Looking like your mama, bro. Did y'all hear me? Every adult in the sanctuary, write your name down. And as you write your name down, I want you to write, Lord, help me not to walk in prejudice or pride. I'm doing it myself, baby. Y'all help the little kids spell this stuff too, y'all. Lord, help me. I can write that stuff down. Not to walk in prejudice and pride. Put it just like that. Prejudice and pride. And then on another sheet of paper, write your name and then say, Lord, help me not to live in prejudice and pride. Because that younger brother, he was living in prejudice and pride, baby. He was living in it because he did not want to go back and say, I need you, or I'm sorry, or I messed up, or I did this and I did that. So he'd rather stay out there and eat with the doggone animals, y'all, out there with the swine. He was eating the same thing that they was eating. Help us not to walk in prejudice and pride, Lord. And any and everybody that calls you to be angry, any and everybody that calls you to feel some type of way, any and everybody that calls you to think some type of way, all because of what they said or what they did, I want you to write their name down. So this can be part of your releasing and letting go, that the Lord can help you not to live or walk in prejudice or pride. Because that's the only way that it's going to happen. Because it's not easy for you to forgive that person that keep on doing you some type of way. But you got to remember that they are not themselves. They have not came to themselves yet. If you pay attention to any and everybody that God had to teach and show something to in that doggone book, baby, they had to come to themselves. They had to remember whose they was and who they belonged to. See, it's a lot of times that we don't know. We don't understand. We have not even entered into that place or even came to that place because of the characteristics that has been embedded down inside of us, because we think it's quote unquote the norm. It's not the norm, y'all. It's not. It's not. We don't want that pride and that prejudice to continue to overtake us. We don't want to walk in it and not knowing that we're walking in it, because we don't want to pay attention, or we don't want to be mindful of these things. And then it takes us to that place. It takes us to that place. It makes us feel some type of way because we done did so much and done went over and beyond. And then it puts us in a place of being prideful. And in actuality, I ain't being prideful. I'm just being stubborn. And I can admit that I'm being stubborn because of what you did to me or what you said to me. But where's the compassion? So, Lord, help us not to have pride and prejudice inside of us so that we would not deny our portion. Don't allow nobody to make you deny what God is doing or what he is about to do in your life, baby. Don't allow that pride or that prejudice to prevent you from receiving it all. Because it's coming, baby. Huh. It's coming, baby. Did you hear what I say? Now, you may not be able to see that goodness right now. You may not be able to see that thing right now because of the negative thoughts and the negative experience and the things that was conversated or what people have said. You may not be able to see it, but don't let their actions, that situation, or that conversation put you in a place of being prideful, of thinking and believing that you cannot receive and have access. I want everybody to say, I got access today. Come on, a little louder. I got access today. I got access, baby, to any and everything that God has for me. He been having me praying. It's a song. Lord, teach me how to receive every blessing that you have for me. And then the next verse says, you got to keep your hands open and you got to keep your heart open. So not only do my heart got to stay open, I got to accept it in order to receive it. So I'm receiving my freedom today because I have a better understanding of that prejudice and that pride that has prevented me from having access to my portion. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? She just want what she want. She just want what she want. Ain't that how we do? Now even and pay attention. Let me show you how the little things, how God give us an example. That was number pride in her. She was prejudiced right now. Because even in you taking that pen, you gave her something else to fill her hand with. She prejudiced against that. Because she really don't want that. She want that pen. And so because she can't get what she want, her pride got her hollering. That's pride that was activated through her prejudice. There it is. Simple. He gives us these little bitty examples that we are not even mindful of. We don't pay stuff no attention like that. Now you tell me that ain't God's wisdom by explaining that right there like that. Baby, I would have never thought of nothing like that. And anybody else would have been like, make the baby be quiet. No, let her holler. Because when she get through, she gonna come to herself. She gonna come to herself and realize that I can't have that pen and I gotta settle for this blessed storm. See, the blessed Lord ain't gonna poke my eye out, but I may not understand that it ain't good for me. So he gotta take some things from me that I don't understand ain't good for me right now. Hey! I'm talking about God. I'm talking about what he's trying to teach us right now. That we could keep access. I don't want to have access for a little while. I want fair access, baby, because that's when I know that overflow gonna come. I know I'm gonna have that peace even in the midst of the mess. I know that healing is sitting right there because I got access. I got access. Am I the only one excited? For real. It's almost like he opened in conversation just yesterday on the phone. He opened his thing and he woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning, exactly 2:00 when I looked at my watch. The prejudice of pride. We got to come to ourselves today. If he didn't give us a word today to help us to come to ourselves that we may be able to have access in it all, from the children to the very adults, then baby, you in a place that you want to forfeit your portion. Go right on ahead. I want all mine. I want mine's not in this life. And in the life to come. I'm in expectation. I'm not going to expect you to say this or act this certain way towards me, how you don't go see, because I don't think that you are even capable of it until you come to yourself. You ain't came to yourself yet, because you keep on treating me some type of way. You keep on acting some, you keep on thinking some type of way. You ain't came to yourself yet. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait for you to come to yourself, and I ain't going to expect you to. I'm just going to wait for God to do what he do. See, this is us. This is us. This is us. Come on, write that stuff down. And when you get through writing it down, please put it on the altar. Put it on the altar. And then stand up here and pray for yourself. Oh God, we want to get it right this time. This time. Jesus. I don't want to keep doing it my way. I don't want to keep acting my own way. I want to come to myself right now. But the only time that I can come to myself and the only way that I can, God, is if I give you all these things now. That's right, kid. I saw how you threw that down there, girl. I'm talking about letting it all go for real. And sometimes it may be kind of hard to let it go because it stings and it digs so deep. It's not the ordinary pains because it's so repetitive. And it seems like it just can't stop. Or it won't stop. Or it can't stop. But today is the day to let it go. That you may be able to walk in your freedom. That you may be able to release all these things. Because if you keep on holding on to these things, it's going to keep you in that place of being prideful as well as walking in prejudice. It's going to have you in a place where you ain't going to be able to understand that that person ain't themselves. You got to be able to come to yourselves and stay in your right mind. You got to have that right attitude. You got to have that right thought. You got to have that right reaction. Because sometimes it make you want to lay hands on folk. Did you hear what I say? You got to be able to recognize these things is going down in the inside of you, that it will not provoke you to deny your portion. Every child in the sanctuary, please get on your knees. And I want y'all to pray to God for yourself. Lord, help me not to be prejudiced. Help me not to be prideful. Lord, help me not to be stubborn. I'm talking to the children. I want y'all to start praying for yourself, that God will even help y'all with your attitude. Even in things that are said and done to you by your sisters, your brothers, your mama, your dad. It don't matter who it is. Oh God, touch, Lord. Touch us on this morning, God. We need you like we never ever needed you before, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because this prejudice thing
it's so rampant in the land. We don't want it to be running wild inside of our hearts, God. We want to release these seeds unto you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and we want to get it right this time. We don't want to keep walking in prejudice. We don't want to keep walking in pride. We don't want to be stubborn. We don't want to forfeit our access to what you have already gave us accessibility to. Oh, God, I'm asking you to help us, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will have more compassion for one another, that we will forgive more towards one another, and that we will simply let it go. And if by chance, God, we cannot get it together enough in our thoughts and our mind, I'm asking you to give us a piety inside of our hearts that we may be able to go to that person and get that thing together. And if by chance, Lord, they still don't want to hear and peace be abound, I'm asking you right now, God, that you will help us, Father God, to be kind, to be pleasant, to be loving, and to hold on to your unchanging hand. Because God, we know that you are the one that don't change. You got the unchanging hand. We don't have to expect nothing from you, because we already know that you got a good thought for us. We accept those thoughts. Oh God, touch your people on today. Touch your people right now, God. Cover us in your blood and hide us behind your cross, Father God. We have written these things down, Lord, in the name of Jesus, and we have laid them at your feet. We are giving you these things right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because they there be oko shunned it like I see. We don't have no control over them, Father God, and it seems as if they are controlling us. We don't want these things, Father God, to hold us hostage in the place of captivity inside our minds or our hearts. Lord, we come to you right now. We confess. We confess, Father God, that we have sinned. We confess, Father God, that we have not did it the way that you told us. We confess, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we've been doing it our way. We confessing, and we apologizing, God. And we asking you to help us. And we asking you to change us. And we asking you to keep us. Oh, God, you said you'll give us a way of escape. You said you won't give us no more than we can bear. You said it, God. We're asking you right now. Govern our thoughts. Govern our minds. Govern our hearts. Govern our speech. Govern us, God, and you'll go shutting it and you'll go see. Even in the midst of somebody coming up against us. Even in the midst of a lie being told on us. Even in the midst of the defamation. Even in the midst of the hurt. Even in the midst of the recycling of the cycles. Even in the midst of the pain. Even in the midst of the verbiage. Help us, God, that we will not hold them accountable. Help us, God, that they will have enough courage to come unto you, God, and they will confess themselves. And even in doing so, help us to have the compassion to forgive. Give us a heart of absolution. Give us a heart of forgiveness. That we may have the piety that we need, God, that will bring them closer to you. Oh, God, help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And give us that clarity. Give us that understanding. Give us that knowledge. Give us that wisdom, God. Because without any of these things, God, we cannot be pleasing in your sight. And neither can we please one another. Oh, God, I'm asking you to give us the completion that we need, Father God, even when we feel like we're in a place of being empty. Even when we feel like we are in a place of being alone. Oh God, I'm asking you to help us, God. I'm asking you to help us on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we cannot do it on our own. We have tried to let it go. We have tried to forget. We have tried to move forward. We have tried to move on. But oh God, it seems like it's weighing us down. It seems like it's got us in a place, Father God, of despair. It feels like it got us in a place, Father God, in the name of Jesus, of lost hope. So I'm asking you to lift it up on today, God, because you are a God of hopefulness, not hopelessness. That's you, God. Help us, Lord. Help us not to be deceived, God, by what we see or what we hear. Help us not to be deceived, Father God, by the experience that we had to go through, because it was for our learning. You wanted to teach us something. You wanted us to get past something. You wanted us to go over something. You wanted us to go straight through it, God. So help us, Lord. Help us, God. Help us on today, God. Because we cannot do it without you. We can't. We can't. I'm standing in the gap for everybody on this altar. I'm touching and agreeing on today, Father God, that you would do a new thing. I'm standing in the gap, God, for every race, every religion, every culture, every nationality in every country. I'm coming before you, God, making my petition known on behalf of us, all your people, God, that we will not be stuck, that we will not forfeit anything, God. Help us on today, God, that we may accept your truth. Help us on today, God, that we may accept your correction. Help us on today, God, that we may accept your direction. Help us on today, God, that we won't walk backwards, Lord. Oh, God. Help us on today, God. Oh, Baba, shut it up, go Sunday to La Garcia. Oh, Mama, shut it up, go Sunday to La Garcia. Help us on today, God. Help us on today, God. Holy, let us not be restrained from the freedom in you. Let us not be conflicted in our thoughts, God, that we cannot hear you, God, and what the Spirit is saying to us. Help us, Lord, that we make free ourselves from that old stuff. Sever them old ties. Sever them soul ties. Sever any and everything and uproot it all, God, that's inside of our hearts. They got us in a patient. Hey, I'm going to see a degradation and segregation. Help us on today, God, that we may be up and see prosper in your will, prosper in your way, that our fruit may bear a right kind of fruit and ripen in an appropriate season, oh God. Oh God, help us, Lord, because we need you like we've never needed you before. We crying out to you on today, God, because there's so much that we done went through. There's so much that has been done. We emptying these things out right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because we know that you can handle them. We decluttering our hearts. We engage in our minds today, Jesus. Oh, 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 God. Help us, your children, because we cannot do it alone. We can't, God. He called it Oko Sane Mamani Oko Sane Mane. Holy Oko Sane. Help us today, God, that we may be free from our own selves and we won't become the victim, but we will be victorious. Help us on today, God, and complete the work that you begun. Help us on today, God, that we may walk in your truth and your holiness. Help us on today, God, that we will be complete and holding you. Help us on today, God, that we won't point the finger right ahead at one another. Help us on today, God, that we will not hear go shining it like I see. Play the blame game. Help us, Jesus. Whatever I do. Oh God. Help us today, God. That your will, your way, and your purpose and your plan will be done and performed within our lives, God. Because without you, God, we can do nothing and we are absolutely nothing. Oh mama nidalo go shining it like I see. Oh, Papa, share the local Sunday, Mama, the local she. Oh, God, we are go shining. We carry so much. It just be so heavy, God. And we do not even know how to empty it out, so we keep it bottled in. But on today, we releasing it to you, God. Every guilt, all shame and embarrassment.
any regrets. We giving you all that stuff now. Oh God. We don't want to hold on to nothing that will prevent us or block us from having access to what you gave us the keys to open. Lord, you said you gave us the keys. Help us to recognize these seasons even within our own selves, God. Help us, Lord. Help us, God. He called it in the local shine de la Casilla. Help us, God. Purge out any and everything that's inside of us that's not like you, Father God. That's preventing us, Father God, from maybe you'll go suddenly and you'll go see. Give us that clarity. Give us that clarity right now. Give us that clarity right now. Give us that clarity, God, that we may be clear and free. Oh, God. Because we want to get it right this time. Oh, let it in loco shine de la casilla. Oh, God. Oh, God. Mama, de la casilla. Help us to tear down these walls that we build up, thinking and believing that we are protecting ourselves, thinking and believing, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that these things is going to just go away, God. But we're going to empty ourselves out and give it all to you right now. Oh, mama, de la casilla. De la casilla. Oh, Baba, shade the loco sun, de la casilla, get a loco shun. Oh, Mama, need a loco shun, need a la casilla. Oh, Baba, shade the loco sun, need a la casilla. Oh, God, give her the loco, see, give her the strength in her back, God, that she may be able to have a backbone to withstand it. Give her the strength that she needs, God. He called it a loco sun, that she won't go into a place of being broken. Give her the strength she needs, God. That it won't break her. That it won't tear down, God. Oh, God. Let her release it all to you, God. Let her give it all to you right now, God, because you're the only one that can handle it. You're the only one, God, that can fix it. You're the only one, Lord. Oh, God. Do it, Lord. Hey, mama, little local senior. Hey! Hey! Hey, Baha Shan, little local senior. Oh, God. Hey, God. He called it in the local senior. The Lord said the door is open. And because you walk through, ain't nothing going to ever be the same for you no more. You've been waiting. And you've been holding on. And you've been contemplating. And you've been trying to figure it out. God said you ain't got to figure it out no more. Because he already done worked it out. You ain't me. You ain't got to hold this stuff here no more. You ain't got to act as if you a big girl. God said he got you. He say he holding on to you. He already know what you need. You gotta stop thinking about that thing. You cannot let that thing control your mind and your thoughts. Touch her in a man, God. Hey! Touch her in a man, God. Hold it in the local seat so these things will not cause her to be stricken.
Mm-hmm. Touch her. Touch her. Touch an Edioko seat, huh? Because they all have attached itself to you, huh? And you let it, because you keep holding on to it. Huh? Release it today. Oh God, touch your daughter. Cover and comfort her on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus. See, you just give them a little bit at a time. You got to give it all to them. You got to release it all to them. Because that old stuff, you cannot get a do-over. It don't even exist no more. And you cannot change it. But God said he's going to revamp some things in your life. Revamp some things in your life. That's what he's going to do. Now, I ain't doing it and we ain't doing it. I can't change you with it.
But what I can tell you is that it's going to be revamped. I'm going to tell you what that word means, because he told me to tell you what it means.
How do you mean?
To revamp is to remake. Yeah. It's to revise some things. To revamp is to make different in some way. So God said he's going to revamp some things inside of your life. So you ain't got to worry about all that old, because it's being redone. It's being revised. It ain't going to be the way that you want it to be or how you want it to be. It's going to be the way that he designed it to be. Just for you, because you got access, sweetie. You got access.
Oh God, touch your shoulder right now. Let me touch your shoulder. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God.
Everything is going to change for you. Everything is going to change. You're going to see. Everything is going to change for you. Everything is going to be rebuilt for you. I just heard that, a rebuild. Everything. Ain't nothing been stopped or delayed. God is not going to allow the vine to cast its fruit before time. God still got to teach us some things before these things come into fruition, so that we'll know what to do and we'll use wisdom this time. This time. This time. Oh God, touch these your people on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, as they release these things unto you. Give me your caution, nede la casia. Oh, mama, nede lo caution, nede la casia. Oh, God, as they're giving it all to you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to do it, God. I'm asking you to complete the work that you have already begun within us, your people, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we would not be in that place of thinking and believing that you forgot about us. Thinking and believing, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that this is taking too long to pass. Let your people know, Father God, that there's a time and a season and a purpose for everything under the sun. Oh God, complete the work that you've begun inside of us, Father God. Give us a heart of absolutions. Give us a heart of forgiveness, God, that we may have compassion and piety as we let and release these things unto you. Everybody on the altar, please, just one time. I want y'all to scream on the count of three. I want y'all to release these things on the count of three. Please. Because we carrying and holding and all this stuff. We need to let this stuff go. And we need to give it all unto God. Come on, you guys, on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Release. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Baba, shade the local Sunday de la Castilla. Oh, God, you know, Lord. You know, Lord, what we need. You know, Lord, what we don't need. You know, Lord, how much of it that we need. Oh, my mind, little local, shunned it like I see. Just like your tears was pouring out and it was sorrow and release, God said, I'm going to become tears of joy. You'll see. He going to flood you with it because of the pureness of your heart. And even in spite of it all, you still love. You'll see. Your love is the greatest thing I.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for touching us, your people. Thank you, God, for giving us the hope and the clarity that we need. Thank you on today for doing what you do best, Lord, and that's simply coming to see about us as an individual. We thank you on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for completing the work that you begun. And we thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for the hope that you have restored unto us, Father God, that we will not have to continue to walk around in a place of hopelessness. We come to you and we want to thank you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for what you are about to do in our lives. Because we know that nothing is impossible with you and that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or even imagine. And we thank you, God, for the new. We thank you for the revising. We thank you for the revamping. We thank you for the refreshing. We thank you for the restoring, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, mama, never look for shiny, never like I see. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think I walked too far down there. Because when I walked too far down there, she got to shed the tears then. I walked too far, didn't I? Because as long as I was up here, she was okay. But I'm a walker, girl. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, you guys. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated if you want to. I'm going to pull out my stick for all the kids in the sanctuary. Because y'all do know I whoop kids. Y'all mamas can't even get a breakthrough because y'all want to act up and go through. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, wrap your arms around your children today. Jesus. See, sometimes we just need him to grab us and tell us it's going to be okay. Father. It don't matter how many times or what is said or even what is done. Oh, Lord, wrap your arms around us today, God, and father us. See, your father lets you know it's okay. He lets you know that you are in a place of protection and you ain't got to be afraid. You ain't got to worry. I'm a provide for you. That's what a father does. I ain't talking about these earthly daddies. I'm talking about our heavenly father. Oh God, any and everything that we placed on the altar today, any and everything that we released unto you, any and everything that we let go, Father God, we giving it to you because we're not going to take it back. Lord, as we drop these things down at your feet, Father God, we know that nothing is impossible with you, Father God, that you're capable and that you are able to do it. Your arms are not slack and neither are they short. Give your people the confidence that they need and the assurance. Throw your weight around for your people, God, that they may know without a shadow of a doubt that you are God. We tell you that we love you and we appreciate you on today, God. We ask you to answer and consider all these prayers that's on the altar, God. Remove any hidden motives and any hidden intentions. That we may be able to have access to our freedom in you. Not just in our hearts, but in our mind and our thoughts, Lord. I'm asking you to do it even now, God. In your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's give him another hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. God is so gracious towards us. He knows just what we need and how much of it that we need, y'all. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want us to stop saying, if it's not one thing, it's another. I want us to stop saying that. Because even though it's one thing and another comes, we got to remember God got to move some things out the way too. Our perceptions got to change in our challenges. Are y'all hearing me today? I love y'all so much. I hope there was something said on today that will help us to continue to press and to understand what God is doing in our hearts, in our lives, and even in our minds. He's teaching us how to receive every blessing, y'all. He is. I'm finna play that song. He's teaching us how to receive every blessing. Thank you, Jesus. You gotta keep your hands open. You gotta keep your heart open. We got to. And that's part of that sermon today, the prejudice of prayer. I hope it was something said on today that will help us to continue to move forward and to continue to be mindful of our prejudice, which causes us to be prideful. If you did not hear the sermon, it will be posted on today on the website as well as YouTube. Go to it, listen to it. If you get in that place of thinking and believing that things cannot change or won't change, how about you make a change and then watch God change things? Because that's what he does best, he see about us. He know any and everything that we need, how much we need it, when we need it. He knows his name by name. He number the hairs on our head, baby. He know how much you can handle, what you can't handle. He knew any and everything about you and what was going to happen to you way before you was even formed in the very bowels of your mama's belly. He knew it. He knew it. That's just how powerful he is. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to get ready to get our tithes and our offering, you guys. The Bible declares that we also give God 10% of our increase. Anybody need any envelopes, please raise your hands. We'll get you guys some envelopes if y'all ain't got them already. Thank you, Jesus. You know where the envelopes at? Everybody that got their hair raised, baby. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All these prayers, all this stuff that we release today. Please, y'all, don't take this stuff back with you. Don't take that stuff back with you.